Now, Vice President Joe Biden arrived earlier today in Lebanon. This is an additional stop to his overseas itinerary. He'll be meeting with Lebanese President Michel Suleiman in Beirut, where he'll show his support for a leader facing tough elections in the next 2 weeks. The Lebanese Shiite armed group Hezbollah is expected to make gains in the June 7th election. And to find out more, we're going to go now to Rami Khoury. He is director of the Issam Ferris Institute for Public Policy and International Affairs at the American University of Beirut. He's also the editor-at-large of the Daily Star newspaper there. All right. Vice President Biden's visit follows closely on the heels of Secretary of State Clinton's drop by Lebanon. Talk about what's at stake here for the Obama administration in these upcoming elections.
Well, the stakes are pretty high, and they're really quite regional. They go way beyond just Lebanon's borders. The previous administration of Bush, Cheney, Condoleezza Rice had a very aggressive policy in Lebanon where they supported the government and used their support, military, economic, diplomatic, to explicitly and openly fight back politically against Hezbollah and its allies, including some of its Christian important allies like Michel Aoun, to fight back against these groups who the Americans accused of being agents of Syria and Iran. So Lebanon is, for the Americans, has been a microcosm of a regional ideological struggle. It seems like Obama and Clinton have kind of followed that same line, but a little bit softer, perhaps. But the Clinton coming here and now Biden showing support for the government, but really trying to focus a little bit more on talking about a free election and sovereign Lebanon, etc. So there may be very subtle little shifts in emphasis from the Obama administration. But I think the main message is that the United States still hasn't figured out how do you get involved in internal ideological struggles within the Arab world without making a complete mess of things.
Well, talk about the wiggle room they might need to leave, given that the polls show that Hezbollah could make large gains in this election.
Well, it's not, to be accurate, it's not Hezbollah as such. It's Hezbollah with Michel Aoun, who's the leading Christian leader, and other smaller groups. And the polls show that this alliance of different groups would likely get a very small majority if the elections were held today. But the elections are held in a couple of weeks, and there is about 15% still undecided, and all kinds of things can happen. But the U.S. clearly has to have a plan B. In case the Hezbollah-led alliance wins the majority and reforms the government, the U.S. would have to figure out what does it do. I think, to be fair to the Obama people, they've already made it reasonably clear that they're going not to make any rash decisions. They're not going to jump in and boycott the Lebanese government like they did the Palestinian Hamas-led government in Palestine. They're saying they're going to wait for the government's makeup and see what is the position of the government, what is the policy statement of the government. The U.S. is coming to terms with Iranian realities, with Syrian realities. It's revising its diplomatic position with Iran and Syria, and probably therefore would do something similar with a Lebanese government in which Hezbollah was a major player. And it is a player in this government, by the way. Hezbollah is a junior partner.
All right, Rami, you just brought up Syria. So what, I mean, Syria is really the key factor whenever you're talking about Lebanon, isn't it? Syria is the one key factor and Israel is the other. So do we know what message the vice president takes to Lebanon on Syria? Do we think that any meetings will take place if they're not in front of television cameras, perhaps back channel? How does the vice president go and deal with the Syrian question today?
Clearly, the Syrian issue is always a big one in Lebanon, and it tends to be a little bit behind the scenes these days since the Syrians left Lebanon in the spring of 2005 after the killing of former Prime Minister Hariri. The United States, again, is a little bit schizophrenic. It's recalibrating its policy to Syria. It sent important envoys to Syria, had talks with them. George Mitchell just asked for a visa to go to Damascus on his next trip. So it's trying to play footsies with the Syrians and reconnect, which is the intelligent, smart thing to do. At the same time, it keeps saying that it's sending messages for the Syrians to leave Lebanon alone, which is also a reasonable thing to do. But so there is a little bit of confusion, but the U.S. clearly is trying the diplomatic approach with both Syria and Iran. If the U.S. doesn't feel that reasonable progress is made diplomatically, The problem for the U.S. is that it only has the option of going back to, you know, pressure and sanctions and threats, and those haven't worked. And that's why it's doing the diplomacy now, because the hardline approach hasn't worked. So the United States, I think, is in for a real dose of reality in terms of hardball politics in the Middle East, which the Obama people are probably addressing a little bit more intelligently than the Bush people.
Speaking of reality, talk about if Hezbollah does make these gains. I mean, they have some domestic pressures, obviously, going on as well. I was just reading about the houses that they had promised to people, houses that were lost in the last conflict with Israel that haven't been replaced yet. So I'm wondering that balance they have to keep up between their version of security and then their version of domestic help.
Right. I mean, the important thing about Hezbollah or Hamas or any of these Islamist militant resistance groups that also do politics, which they do, is that they're constantly balancing their role as a resistance movement that is fighting against Israeli occupation or annexation, which is clearly legitimate. Everybody in the world says you can fight against a foreign occupation. But they have to balance that with their role as domestic political actors. And incumbency breeds accountability. So if you're in the government, if you're sharing in the cabinet, if you're in parliament, people expect from you more than the rhetoric of resistance. They want you to deliver telephones and medical care and housing and education and right. jobs. So all of the groups in the region who are going through this transition are having to meet the same challenge, which is how do they translate the credibility, legitimacy, influence that they generated through military resistance, how do they translate that into successful governance that makes them legitimate and that keeps them, they are already legitimate, but that enhances their legitimacy okay. in the eyes of their own people. It's a classic challenge that any, let's say, guerrilla movement has to meet when it transitions from military resistance to political governance.
Rami Curry.
Hezbollah is addressing this.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. That's Rami Curry. He is the director of the Issam Ferris Institute for Public Policy at the American University of Beirut, talking to him about the upcoming elections.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.